Hello, I am Robin, and welcome to the Wallops and Assateague Islands Report for today. I have Keith Kohler, Public Relations Specialist for NASA at Wallops Island. Hey, Keith, how are you today?
Great. Good to be here.
Good to see ya. You know, this is the first time we've actually spoken since the very successful Antares test launch.
Yeah, it's been busy. There's a lot going on. Yeah, like you said, it's I guess the last time I came in, it was in between the hot fire test that we had on the pad, and then also then the actual launch in April. So it's been busy.
Well, I need to just say congratulations. It was just spectacular. So
yeah, I think everybody did a good job. I mean, we had several counts, which is kind of expected for the first launch. But you know, everybody worked together well to really, you know, try to go through everything to make sure we had a successful and safe launch. So it seemed like it was a good launch.
You know, Keith, something I was really fascinated by, and I just learned that you do this at every launch, is that there was a lot of wind issues back during that launch, right? That launch window. And I remember, you know, hearing that, oh, well, Wallops just sent up a weather balloon.
Right.
And
right.
I didn't realize that you send up a weather balloon before every launch, even the sounding rocket launches.
Yeah, for all the launches, I mean, what we want to know, whether it's a guided rocket like the Antares or whether or not it's a sounding rocket, which are unguided rockets, we need to know what the winds are at the various altitudes. So starting early on in the count, we'll launch a weather balloon or to give us idea on the winds, really at the upper altitudes, so we know what's going on. And then throughout the count, we fly balloons, and that will give us information on the lower level winds and then the mid latitude winds. And one of the issues we had with one of the Antares counts was just, you know, at the mid latitude winds, altitude winds, I mean, they were just howling. It was something like 100 and something knots that they were blowing, and blowing in the wrong direction. And so that's one of the reasons we had to postpone that day.
Yeah, but not good.
Not good. Not good. That's moving pretty good. So, you know, we just, you know, for safety reasons, protect the public, we just decided not to fly it. So came back the next day and everything went well. So it's something we do for every mission.
It was amazing. Now, I got to say that Antares launch was just, it was fantastic. And to see that rocket hover like that. And I remember, you know, throughout the years hearing about it, and it's going to be different from a sounding or a Minotaur launch, but that hovering, you know, when you are watching it, it seems, it's seconds, but it seems like it was a long time, and I was just amazed by it.
Yeah, they warned us, I guess I was talking to some of the orbital officials beforehand, and you know, they said it's going to be a slow-moving rocket, and I was in the control center, so I missed it all. But you know, it was what I understand, you know, it's slow. It takes like 2 seconds from the time that the engines fire to the time it actually starts to lift off the pad itself. So, but once it gets up there, it really starts to move. So, it's a good show for everybody to watch the Antares.
And after a while, I wasn't sure, is that the rocket or the weather balloon? Because that weather balloon, you can see that weather balloon for a long time.
On a good clear day, when the sun starts to set, it really shows up well. So you can see some of the weather balloon launches for a long time.
That was cool. It was just, again, congratulations. That's you know, years in the making, and it's just perfect.
Yeah, it was
just
good, perfect. Good to finally see it come together.
Well, let's talk about the future of the Antares. What is that time frame like?
Right now, we're looking at next launch is possibly August, September timeframe, sometime around there. The Cygnus cargo carrier has been fueled, and it's been moved into the integration facility with the rest of the rocket. So they're currently integrating the rocket and getting ready for flight. The Cygnus already has some supplies that it will take to the space station on this next flight. So this next one would be a demonstrator flight. So it doesn't have a full complement of supplies that it would be taking up. So it's from the time that they launch to the time that they actually are captured and connected with the space station, it will take a couple of days because they need to show some maneuvering capabilities and those types of things with the Cygnus before we actually get it near the space station. But that's our current look, is possibly sometime August or September.
But the I guess the the end of this mission, you are hoping to connect to this International Space Station.
Yeah, for this one, the idea is to actually, the astronauts on board will take the remote arm that's on there and will actually grapple or connect with the Cygnus and then pull it in and dock it with the space station at that point. So it won't be automated. They will do it with the arms on these cargo missions. So, very cool. But this time it will be going to the station.
And it will have some supplies on there.
It does have some supplies on there. I'm not quite sure what they've got on there, but they do have some supplies already loaded and ready to go.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Now you've got a sounding rocket mission coming up next Tuesday.
Yeah, June 4th. We have a sounding rocket launch. It's a four-stage Black Brant 12. So it's about 70-foot tall rocket, actually. So it's actually quite large.
That's a big, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big rocket, tall-wise. Launch time is between 11 and 11:59 p.m. So it's going to be a night launch. So it's going to be highly visible, you know, if we get this good, clear skies for this mission. This will actually be flying a telescope, which we typically don't do out of Wallops because we're going to be flying so high. It's going to impact about 400 miles off the coast out in the Atlantic Ocean, so obviously we can't recover out that far, so we're not going to recover it. But this particular instrument called CYBER, the Cosmic Infrared Background Explorer, it's a experiment out of Caltech University in California, and they've already flown it three times. So they've already, and these flights have been done out at White Sands, New Mexico, on a smaller rocket. So they've already gotten some data. They've checked out the instrumentation. They've made some improvements in their modeling to see how they can do that. And what they're looking at is really they're going to be examining the beginning of the universe. They want to look at the stars and the galaxies from back in that time and try to get an understanding of how those things developed. And they'll also be looking at the brightness of those stars and how they burn their nuclear energy within the stars. So with this telescope, that's the plan, is to be able to do that. So it's kind of exciting for us to be able to fly the telescope for the first time out of Wallops. And it's going to give them, quite a bit more observation time. And that's the reason why they're willing to forego not recovering this time, that because of the amount of data that they'll be getting is going to be, huge for them.
So the data just automatically goes back to them as the sounding rocket's flying.
Right, yeah. The data is sent back by radio waves, so we'll be, as we call it, telemetry. So all that data that they're getting will be coming back to us in real time, and then they'll take that and spend months analyzing the amount of data that they can get off these flights. So we're really looking forward to it. The visitor center will open at 9:30 p.m. if anybody wants to come out and see it from there. We'll also be doing our Facebook and Twitter updates at the Wallops site, so you can follow it on there. And then on our Ustream site, we'll be doing the live launch coverage of that. Something we'll be doing a little bit differently this time because we're in a process of transitioning to a new studio. So we do have it hooked up, but we won't be doing any commentary. So if anybody listens in, you'll see the video and you'll hear the commentary from the control center itself, all the countdown, all the technical
right.
people talking, but you won't hear us filling time and trying to explain some things. So but it will be kind of neat to see, especially as a night launch for a four-stage vehicle.
Yeah, those are pretty. They're very pretty.
They're pretty, and we expect this to be, visible from, mid-Carolina all the way up to northern New Jersey also on this flight. So it's going to be highly visible.
What are the, because I've been to a couple of the sounding rockets, launches right there on the island. And what's the average sounding rocket height? That's 70 feet sounds quite large.
The Black Brant 12 is our largest vehicle. Typically, you're looking around 40.
That's what I thought.
So,
yeah.
Somewhere around there for most of the things that we tend to fly. But yeah, so this is going to be rather tall. Yeah.
And boy, do those things move.
And it's going to move.
Man, they move.
It's going to move, especially once it gets past the first stage.
Oh, man. I remember the first time seeing one, Keith, a gentleman out there at the field said, you better pay attention. Keep looking, because if you blink, you're going to miss it. And man, I never saw anything move so fast in my life.
Yeah, it was definitely different than the Antares.
Yes. No hovering there.
No hovering there. So at least we hope not. So As soon as the motor ignites, it's gone. So, it's so cool. Paying attention.
You've got some other, I mean, you, boy, do you have a busy summer. So you've got another sounding rocket launch coming up on the 20th.
Yeah, actually, we have two more missions coming up. We have a mission on the 20th. This is an annual project we do with the University of Colorado Space Grant called Rock On. So we have, I think they have more than 100 students from across the country this time working payloads. I think we have something like 50 coming in for the workshop itself, which we call Rock On. So these are folks that have never built a payload before. So they'll get some lessons in how do you, you know, build it, how, you know, what do we look for as far as the vibrations and the acoustics and how do you solder and program the payload. And then they have about 75 or so students that are doing the next level up, which is called Rocks at Sea. So these are more sophisticated payloads that the students themselves have developed. And I think we have four or five of those experiments on this rocket. So they start coming in, I think the 14th or 15th, whatever that Friday is before launch, and start putting things together. The Rock On students come in the Saturday before and basically get a crash course, so to speak. Hopefully it's not crash, but they get a quick course on how do you build these. So they'll come in, you know, and build these things in just a few days, and then we fly them on Thursday. So it's amazing, you know, what Colorado Space Grant and Virginia Space Grant has put together in this kind of a program. I think this is the seventh year.
I was just going to ask you.
We've been doing this program with those guys.
This sounds like there's a lot of people coming this year.
This year there's a lot. I'm getting ready to send an email to get the final numbers, and they should be sending me some stuff too to get their final numbers. But when I talked to them a few weeks ago, and they were still accepting registrations, and at that time they were over 100 people.
Oh my gosh.
Coming in for this flight.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they'll do their next version of it called the Rocksat X. It's currently scheduled for August, so we'll have another group of students coming in. Not quite as many, but it's a little bit. They'll be building a little bit more sophisticated payloads, and so it's really the next level up for those folks.
What a great hands-on experience for these students!
Oh, it is. It's they design everything, they build it, and then they get their data and they analyze the data. So. You know, all within a school year. So there aren't very many programs that I think around that you're able to do this much and get this much experience for the students. So, you know, we're, you know, Wallops and NASA is really happy to cooperate and with the space grants and various universities from across the country to be able to do this program. So we have that on the 20th. That will be a morning launch, probably around 6:30. We'll be getting some more information out on that one. Then we follow up with a window that opens on the 24th, and we have a two-rocket salvo, what we call a two-rocket salvo. So it's two rockets that will launch about 5 minutes apart. They'll be doing some studies of the ionosphere. We did this a couple years ago, and so we're looking at about a 9:30-ish in the morning launch for these rockets. And so the windows for that runs to July 8th. And June on the range is just, you know, for the Santa Rocket teams, it's extremely busy. And then they're looking at another launch first part of July out of White Sands for Santa Rocket. So they're really busy. And then we've got a balloon launch coming up this weekend, probably out of Sweden. So they're getting ready for that. So it's, you know, extremely busy for everything that we've got going on at Wallops.
And then you also have now the Minotaur rockets coming up later this summer.
Yeah, the Minotaurs are getting ready to
early fall.
Fall, I guess. And so, the LADEE, the Lunar Atmospheric Dust Environment Explorer, our moon mission out of Wallops, gets kicked into gear next week. The spacecraft is shipped out of California today, or tomorrow, Friday. And it will take the cross-country trip, arrive at Wallops probably Monday night, depending on the weather between here and there. And then they'll uncrate it and start, you know, getting the spacecraft ready for launch. Then the various motor components, this will be a Minotaur 5, so it's a little bit larger than Minotaurs that we have flown. And it starts to arrive, the components start to arrive for that in late June. And then right now we're looking at a September 5th launch. This will be a night launch, so that's going to be cool.
Ooh.
you know, it's not a middle of the night launch. It's like 11:30 or somewhere around there. I don't have the exact times on me, but so it's a decent time to be able to see this. But like, you know, we're real excited about this mission.
Now, well, let us hear a little bit more about this mission, because it is a moon mission.
Right.
So what exactly is this?
Basically, what they're going to be doing, they're going to be looking at the atmosphere of the moon. There is an atmosphere around the moon and the various and dust and things like that. So they would want to get a better understanding of that before you start, you know, developing habitats on the moon. And, you know, is this dust going to get into your electronics and short things out? And you want to understand, you know, what's there. So this will, you know, that's the idea of the spacecraft. And then we'll also have some technology. Goddard Space Flight Center out of Greenbelt, Maryland, mm-hmm. will be flying a, typically the way we send back data and communicate with the spacecraft in space is through telemetry, radio waves. This time they're going to be using a laser demonstrator. So they'll be sending back huge amounts of data using the lasers. And, I mean, it's just insurmountable, the increase of data that you can get using lasers instead of radio waves. So,
Keith, that's even hard for me to wrap my head around.
Yeah, for me too.
I mean, is this the first time that they'll be doing this?
This is the first time we'll be doing this, yeah. So,
oh, my
so
goodness.
Doing this demonstration, we'll be flying on that, and so the folks at Goddard will be, you know, seeing where we're at on that. I mean, we've done it in Earth orbit. There's been some demonstrations of transferring data using lasers. But this will be the first time that it's been done from this distance back to Earth. So, we're excited for our colleagues at Goddard. And
I mean, I just can't even imagine. We see how fast things can go through radio waves now. Could you imagine if it goes to laser?
Laser and the amount of data.
Here, you want this piece of paper? Yeah, you can get it to somebody faster than you can hand it to them.
That's right. So it's gonna be a neat experiment with this whole project. And NASA is really geared up for this mission. You know, we're getting tons of support from across the agency to be able to pull this off. And, you know, for us at Wallops, not only doing this mission, but it's the first flight of the Minotaur 5. It's just an Air Force vehicle, and it's the first flight for that. And, it's the first moon mission out of Wallops. So,
oh, that's exciting.
So, you know, provided everything works well, you know, we think we'll, open up doors for future missions there out of Wallops.
And, you know, just to let our listeners know that this is now, you know, what's so wonderful about Wallops at this point is that there's the two different launch pads. So the Minotaur will be going from the original launch pad.
Right, the Mid-Atlantic Regional Spaceport, the Virginia Spaceport. Guys, they actually have two pads now. The what we call Pad 0B is for solid fuel rockets, which are the Minotaurs. And then the newest one is Pad 0A, which is the one that air and Terries or liquid fuel rockets can fly off of. So we'll be able to accommodate multiple flights. So right now, the way it's looking, we could this fall, because then we have another Minotaur 1 flight that's carrying a DOD mission later this fall also, once we get the Minotaur 5 off. And so, you know, we're looking at possibly three or four of the large rockets this fall out of Wallops. So it's going to be a extremely busy time for us.
Very exciting.
And then at the same time, we also have since we've got the hurricane season coming up, the HS3, the Global Hawks, will be coming in the middle of August and be doing hurricane studies again this year. So we have two Global Hawks coming in for this time frame, and they'll be flying through about the end of September this year and monitoring some of the Atlantic hurricanes. So a lot of stuff going on.
And we haven't even touched on the agreement that NASA just made with the Navy.
Right. And then on top of that, we've just finished up and signed the agreement with the Navy for the field carrier landing practice activity. These are aircraft that currently do flights at Wallops. These are turboprop aircraft. They're not jet aircraft. So the noise isn't there that you would have with the jet aircraft. But it's an opportunity for these Navy pilots to maintain their proficiency and to get the training they need to land on carriers, which is not an easy thing to do. So this month they'll start kind of working on one of the runways and basically turning it into a carrier landing strip, so to speak, with the lights and the markings and everything that the pilots will need. And then they'll probably start doing these flights into September, first part of the fall. And So they'll be coming in for a couple weeks at a time with multiple aircraft. At some for some of these flights, they'll be bringing teams in with them to support it. So those folks will be staying in the area, whether or not they stay in the dorms on the base or whether or not mm-hmm. they stay in the hotels still has to be worked. But we think this is a good opportunity for us at Wallops. It helps us to maintain the runway, to maintain and continue our aircraft programs and science programs that we do. And then also it's a good deal for the taxpayers in that, we have the runway they need and it's underutilized. So this makes full use of a federal facility. And it's at what we consider to be a decent cost for the Navy to be able to do these activities.
Now, will the public be able to see the construction on the runway?
You may be able to see some of the construction. I mean, it's nothing really huge.
Okay.
But yeah, if you go to the visitor center roof, you'll be able to see the activity going on, getting ready for this. And then once the flights start, you'll be able to be able to see the flights from there. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so
that would
cool
be pretty
to
cool
be able to see that. And then we'll be meeting with the Navy. Actually, we have a meeting next week to look at the possibility of putting together some kind of a small exhibit to explain what they're going to be doing, so people coming to the area will understand what it is that when they start seeing all these airplanes suddenly start to fly, what it is that we're doing and why we're doing it.
That would be terrific, just to inform the public,
yeah,
and then
really
they can get a hands-on look.
Yeah, we really want to communicate with the public, and we've tried to work with the public, work with the Navy to be able to meet the concerns of the
yep.
public, because there it will be you'll have some noise. How much noise, we're not really sure yet, but there will be some noise, more than we typically have. And then for the Navy to be able to do what they want to do, so we've tried to balance things as best we can to meet the needs of everybody.
Now, you did do a demonstration in December,
right?
Correct?
We had the Navy came in December, and for one evening they did some flights for us to understand the path that they needed to fly, and that went well.
Good.
From that, then the Navy did their environmental studies that needed to be done, and they finished that up early this spring, late winter. I forgot what it was, and based on that, we tried to work out this agreement, which we have done.
Well, I do need to say, I was over at the visitor center right there on 175. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's really nice.
Yeah, we've really fixed things up there. We've got a couple new rockets out that we've just
looks great.
Put up, and the Science on the Sphere is back up and running now. And and we're adding some new things to it also. We've just redid the whole auditorium.
It's beautiful.
With a nice video wall.
Wow.
To watch this in HD. So it's really neat to go in there and see what's going on. So, if people haven't been there in a while, we strongly encourage
absolutely
to make the visit, especially if you have guests coming in the area. It's, we've made some changes.
It looks great. And I tell you that the auditorium, I mean, I felt like I was in CNN or something. It was amazing.
Yeah, you can see multiple
it's cool.
things, and instead of just one screen, we can put multiple pictures up there, and yeah,
it was awesome.
It's really cool for a launch, especially be able to get all the different views on one screen. So,
oh man, cool. Well, I tell you, it's just such a pleasure having you, Keith, and I'm so excited. I'm really just it's been cool because I've been kind of involved with you guys for 5 or 6 years now.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And to
yeah.
see this happen, it's just fantastic.
Yeah,
it really is.
It's just a really busy year, both here at Wallops itself and then all the projects that we have going on elsewhere. Right now we're doing a flood study in Iowa with the folks out there.
Jeez.
And our aircraft is getting, the P-3 is getting an avionics upgrade to get ready to do some flights this summer and the wintertime that they'll be doing. And we're also getting a C-130 aircraft assigned to us, and that will be coming
in. I think
in.
I did hear that, actually.
Yeah, and that will be coming in here soon and supporting, in its own right, doing some airborne flights, science flights, but then it will also support some of the other science flights and other things we do. So it's happening.
Yes.
It's very busy right now.
Very cool, and always thank you for stopping by, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you in a few weeks and just getting updated on everything, and good luck next Tuesday with the sounding rocket.
Great. Good to be here. Thank you.
Take care. That concludes today's Wallops and Nasty Gallons report. Have a wonderful day.